my pleasure, Carl. Thank you so much. It's really good to see you, and great to see everyone. I think the last time I was here was Pride Month. And we were just celebrating our Supreme Court decision. So what a month. Full of lots of content, lots of opportunity for practice. And I've still been working with equanimity, you know, working with the just the ability to be, just sort of, it feels like just kind of riding the wave of uncertainty, you know, and for me that looks a lot like equanimity. And so in particular, this week I've been thinking about this quality of fearlessness and how that relates to equanimity. And so I thought I would talk about fearlessness, or AKA courage. I kind of think of the two as a little bit different, in that fearlessness, you know, it seems to be the sort of the absence of fear, right? The real true absence of fear, which I suppose we do have that, you know, at times and on occasion. You know, I envision maybe a mother protecting her child, or a lioness in some circumstances, just fearless, right? Fearlessness. And courage, or sometimes similarly thought of as fearlessness, but I think of it as courage, is the presence of fear and then turning toward that fear and being able to move forward regardless. And that is courage. So turning toward our fear and moving through that fear as courage. And so I think of time when I was fearless, and I think of childhood, you know, jumping bikes, or you know, climbing trees, or doing the things that you know, before we were wise to you know, the possible harms or injury. And sometimes we act in foolishness, but we act fearlessly. So it reminds me of those times, and then we learn to be cautious, and it takes courage, you know, after learning to be cautious, to sometimes move through despite the presence of fear. So as we practice deep listening and being with what's here, it's always a little bit different, you know, from week to week. We've been moving through different stages and different changes in our circumstances, and things are just kind of up and down and willy-nilly, and you know, who knows what the outcomes will be. So again, equanimity, you know, riding the tides, riding the waves, and being able to be with what's here. And so equanimity, a sense of being or meeting the moment, being with the moment, meeting the moment for what it is, cultivating a wise relationship to what's happening. And softening our grip. I think releasing is kind of a strong concept, but softening our ideas around how we want things to unfold or look in our lives. I know for me, you know, all the plans that I did have are no longer, you know, not really. And so there is just this sense of riding, you know, the present moment and what's available. So opening to, softening that grip around what I wanted things to be, around that vision or ideas around outcomes, just softening, being able to soften a little around what things might be as we continue to walk within the sacredness of this life and to be with this unfolding. So much that we're working with, and we're composting, you know, we really are composting amidst, some might call it madness, amidst the madness, there is transformation. I think just last week, was it Asheville, North Carolina, their city council voted for reparations for African Americans, you know, with regard to our history of slavery. And so not payments to individuals, but, you know, funding communities and different programs that might support and strengthen, you know, the wealth of these communities. And I mean, that's just monumental in this lifetime to think that that's something that's beginning to occur, that's rising from our present circumstances. And so I'm seeing a lot of that. We're seeing a lot of that. And I don't know if it's just the nakedness of where we are and, you know, sort of the absence of a lot of the other types of distractions that we're accustomed to. But it seems as though many of us are really sort of moving forward, you know, moving through and composting and transforming a lot of this suffering that we have been mired in, you know, our entire lives. So it's an incredibly different territory that we're in, and it can feel uncertain and frightening somewhat. So we have this, again, this opportunity for practice, this profound opportunity. Here we are in the midst of changing circumstances. And again, you know, the Buddha's mantra that we remain open and adaptive among the changing tides. So uncertainty. It's interesting how we sort of reference the past and attempt to gauge the future to try and better understand our present circumstances. I've just kind of been noticing that about myself. And what's so unique about this moment or these times is that perhaps for the first time for many of us, aside from life's usual, you know, ups and downs, the future feels a bit more or even completely uncertain. And so it's been difficult to ascertain what to do next, what plans should be made, how to see further than just a few feet in front of us. And so it's so interesting because it's all about right now. You know, it's all about right now. And so all we can do is be with what's here. Be with what's in front of us. And I think it's an interesting place. I think it's a very interesting place. And so how do we meet the moment? With all of the uncertainty and change around us. And some fear, you know, is in the air. And, you know, what follows fear, or what tends to follow fear at times, is a bit of contraction. a bit of contraction in the heart, and this is where the heart becomes we call it contraction. It's, we sometimes become protective, right? Protective. And when people are afraid, you know, we're sometimes prone to panic or anger or clingy, you know, we, or greed, you know, we hoard resources, or and we're prone to violence and destruction, and we turn toward me, and this is this contraction, me. And so fear can be very powerful, and we all respond differently, and when we're facing this kind of uncertainty, it can arise. I was listening to the Dalai Lama. I've been listening to him. He's been having, you know, almost daily videos and talks and so on that he's been uploading. He just had a birthday. I believe it was on the 6th. And I turned him on one night, and I was particularly sort of mired in my own confusion, you know, just sort of going around about, you know, what to do about my circumstances, you know, and which really have to do with security and you know, future planning and so on. And so he says, almost as if he's just speaking directly to me, you know, he says, this is about karuna, you know, ahimsa, which is compassion and non-harming. It's not about me, he said. He said, we got to focus on no self and study and practice continuously and do our best to reduce negative emotions and increase positive emotions. And he said, to get serious about it. And so he just really just sort of, his words just sort of cut through to me. And I was like, what am I doing? You know, mm-hmm. Just sort of spinning around in my own head. And so when we get out of our heads, where we are running around in circles worrying about me, right? Things change. And instead, can we move toward the heart and explore what it's like to concern ourselves with others? And can we cultivate this kind of open-heartedness or fearlessness? Right, our ability to simply be with what's here, as well as to suffer with, which is compassion. Deepa Ma, I don't know if folks know who Deepa Ma is. She was a teacher. In India. In fact, Jack Kornfield and Joseph Goldstein, Sharon Salzberg, all studied with her. In fact, she encouraged them. She's the one who sort of really encouraged them to come back to the West and open the centers that they did, which were most of us are familiar with, IMS on the East Coast and Spirit Rock here on the West Coast. And so there's a story about Deepa Ma where she is, she's on an airplane with a female student, and there's a bit of turbulence on the plane, and the student yells out, you know, she screams, I don't know if it's her first time on a plane or what, but she yells out, and Deepa Ma sort of takes her hand and says, the daughters of the Buddha are fearless, and I'm going to read you this lovely commentary. I have, I'm reading from this book, The Hidden Lamp, which is stories from 25 centuries of awakened women. It's a beautiful book. You can pick it up. It's done in cones. So this is a cone. Amita Schmidt gives a reflection. Kalandipuma statement that the daughters of the Buddha are fearless. And she says, Dipuma is emphasizing the fearlessness needed on this path of the Dharma. To know the truth, one must be fearless, no matter what is happening. Whether there is airplane turbulence or physical injury, can you have a heart and mind that are unshakable? Waking up is not a part-time job for the faint-hearted. It is the intention to meet every moment continually without flinching. I love that. So, thinking about that, it kind of reminded me of Bodhisattva. The Bodhisattva are sometimes pictured as floating on two wings, and the wings are considered to be wisdom and compassion. And so the Bodhisattva is pictured as floating above the ground, above the earth, and so not clinging to anything. And this includes identity. This includes all of the things that we sort of surround and protect ourselves with and identify ourselves with. Judgments, thoughts, ideas, possessions, careers, whatever it is. You know, the Bodhisattva is pictured as not clinging to any of these things, just floating without clinging to any of this turf, as it were. And so there's a kind of unshakable quality there in that freedom. And so I'm going to read to you one more story from this book. And this is, this one is about a nun called Eshun, and it's called Eshun's Deep Thing. And I'll actually read it to you. It's very short. Eshun was a nun at the monastery of Saijoji. The abbot of Saijoji wanted to send a message to the abbot of the great temple of Engakuji, which was known for its rough treatment of outsiders. None of the monks from Saijoji dared to go. Only Eshun was willing to volunteer. When the Engakuji monk saw her walk through the main gate, one of them rushed forward, raised his robes to expose himself, and said, "This monk's thing is 3 feet long. How about it?" Eshun calmly lifted her robes, spread her legs, and said, "This nun's thing is infinitely deep." She dropped her robes and continued down the corridor unaccosted. So she, she sort of gives or releases the thing that he dares to take from her. And she's just completely fearless, in that story. And she also sort of wields the power of her womb, from which all things come and all things emerge. And it's infinitely deep, which speaks to her wisdom. So I love the fearlessness in that story, where she just sort of gives over and releases. She says, "Here it is. Here's my nakedness. Here's the depth of my womb, and how powerful! How powerful! You know, they don't dare accost her." So, as we emerge, adjust, settle into, find acceptance with, or to our present circumstances, how fully can we embrace what's here? or even if it is uncertainty, even if it is fearfulness, and embody this moment. I'll close with some other wonderful quotes for you. Let's see. This is Jogyang Trungpa, who is a Tibetan Buddhist master. And he's also a poet and an artist and scholar. And this is from the book, The Sacred Path of the Warrior, which really does sort of deal with this type of rising to the moment and moving through fear, or turning toward our fears. And he says, acknowledging fear is not a cause for depression or discouragement. Because we possess such fear, we also are potentially entitled to experience fearlessness. True fearlessness is not the reduction of fear, but going beyond it. So there's also, a place of refuge for us through this practice. Our difficulties are a resource. They can be a resource. And as we turn toward, mindfulness, or as we turn toward our practice or Buddha nature, we're not looking at an external place. Our Buddha nature is very much a place within us, and so we can turn toward that place. In the midst of difficulty, in the midst of fearfulness, and there's always a refuge there, as we as we turn toward the heart, as we turn toward that sort of bodhisattva unshakability, as we soften and release, as we move toward release, softening toward outcomes, softening toward our relationships to what's here. There's that unshakable quality, like a shun, that emerges. And that's a place for refuge that we all have, every human, no matter who you are, no matter who we are. We have that place, we have that refuge within us. So I'll stop there.
Saira, thank you so much for that talk and reminders of how we can be fearless in these uncertain times.
My pleasure, Carol.
Well, let's sit together for a minute or so.